All right. Hello, everyone. I'm Matt Suazo. I work on the Google open source security team. I'll be speaking about build auditing as part of the OSS Rebuild project. So OSS Rebuild aims to reproduce open source packages, the focus on language package ecosystems. We currently support PyPI, NPM, Crates, Ruby, Gems, thanks to one of our organizers, and Debian as well. So we provide evidence of our reproduction in the form of a Salsa attestation and include our build setup in the attestation itself, so you know, public users can run that themselves. This process happens out of band from the actual maintainer upload and the sort of first party provenance publication pathway, which is another P word, which is nice because maintainers then don't need to modify their build release process at all. They can even release from their laptop. If we can rebuild it, they can have an attestation from a trusted builder. And I guess first, while I'm up here now, OSS Rebuild is not just me. I have a whole team of engineers, both on our team and external collaborators, and would not be up here, and the project would not exist without them. So to get more into sort of what it looks like, and I have made this as hard as possible to see. Imagine you can see the boxes and arrows, but the architecture can point. So we have our upstream source going into our build. We get the upstream package. We compare them, the stabilized comparison, and publish them as an attestation. The whole slideshow will be like this. So I guess let's get started. That would be incredibly helpful, I think. Could have checked this somehow. Oh, jeez. Oh, boy. Okay. I mean,
it's readable.
Yeah, hopefully you can see the boxes. Just won't look good. Yeah, exactly. Please use your imagination. So with the sort of attestations we're publishing, again, this can be in addition to or instead of a maintainer publishing their own first-party attestation. So when an existing one, is present, when the publisher, has provided one, we can corroborate it. And as will be the subject of the talk, we can also augment it. So adding detail that maybe was not present during the original build. Maybe going to an even higher level. What is the trust sort of relationship we're talking about here? So we have this source code here, hopefully understandable, visible. We have our build environment that we trust, we think is trustworthy. And with some effort, obviously the equal sign is doing a lot of work, but we can get a reproducible artifact out the other side. But like all models, it's not accurate. It's just convenient, maybe. Neither the upstream source nor our build environments are inherently trustworthy. So while a convenient assumption, it's certainly not a safe one. And as you actually show of hands, who has seen a presentation in the last 2 years with the Xe attack in it? Who has seen 3? 5. Okay, so I'm in a similar boat, but for all of you who may have only heard it once, let this be, you know, another opportunity. Suffice it to say, 3 years of social engineering sort of culminates with this nice, elegant, effective, scary attack on ultimately Debian's SSH package offering, sort of pre-auth remote code execution. The maintainer gained control of the project and was able to backdoor exe-utils. So the backdoor itself is split between the published source code. It's underhanded. Again, a lot of elements of it were well obfuscated. And the additional trigger, ultimately, was published out of tree, so in the source tarball, malicious, that enables the build in the Debian build environment, Debian and Ubuntu, maybe, which are probably quite similar. And that results in the artifact being compromised and fully reproducible. Right? Debian project reproduced it. Great. Looks good. Obviously not. So that was maybe an animating moment for our project, and I assume many others in the space. And so we sort of restructured maybe OSS Rebuild's approach to not just verification by repetition, but verification by observation, in addition. And sort of what we found has been, we think, generalizable across package ecosystems, not just Debian. So our instrumented environment sort of comprises maybe three pieces. Our execution sandbox, which is distrusted by the rest of the system, just does the build. The network proxy, which records fetched resources without needing to modify the internal build, which is important for us because given the scope, we're not really in the business of being able to run a distro, basically. And finally, our syscall analyzer, or graph construction, which comprises an eBPF-based monitor and a data flow graph builder library we'll talk about right now. Oh, well, network proxy first. So we terminate TLS between the build, this proxy component, record the trace log. We have the ability to modify inline the results we get back upstream. But more importantly, we are able to record everything coming out of NPM install. And another, tidbit, which is nice, is that even if the build is launching separate containers, we actually hook the container creation process in the proxy itself, and we can add in the trust route and the network configuration to that container launch so that it passively sort of adopts the path we have built through the proxy, which is nice and necessary when you need it, but for Debian, for instance, you don't. The SysGraph SDK is recently open source, but is our library for turning the events generated by our eBPF monitor into the process and data flow graph we'll be talking about. Pretty straightforward. The graph compresses efficiently, which is very important. So we're, instead of talking maybe gigabytes, talking megabytes still, but what we get for it is a process and file system trace that's tremendously useful as a basis for analysis. With this sort of exhaustive view of the build, who cares? Well, even beyond, detecting XZ, What we found was that it has proven really valuable for actually working towards reproducibility and achieving reproducibility. So start there. Much ink has been spilled on dependency management and lock files, as I'm sure everyone in this room is acquainted with, and our experiences have been no different. Dependency manifests are convenient fictions, and really, when we want to know what's going on in a build, especially portably across ecosystems, there's really no better place than the network trace itself. So at best, they're imprecise. At worst, well, let's take a look. Okay. What version of Axum do you think that is going to fetch?
0.74.
Oh, it really looks like that, doesn't it?
I feel like you're setting us up.
It is a trick. It is 0.8.8. Not only does it upgrade the patch version, it also upgrades the minor version, which is fun. Let's pick on someone else. This is Gradle. What version of Guava do you think we're going to be using?
28, for sure.
Yeah. 31.1, obviously, just like we asked. Okay, so what version of tools are we going to use?
Good at some is irrelevant to what version you
use. Yeah. Trick question. It's the same trick as all the rest, but it is still a trick question. Yeah, it is. Just the record of the last person to have built it. Yeah. So, 038. Another fun tidbit we can get from this sort of privileged position we have in the build is that many package ecosystems will do creative things, say during installation time, to varying degrees. And one end of that spectrum is NPM, and maybe the most permissive ecosystem. So our network instrumentation will tell you that, on this call, you'll see all of these. Okay, how many people can read it? All right, whatever. It's more than just registry NPM JS. There's this big GitHub release and this long URL asset that is dynamically accessed based on the local installation environment, sort of at runtime, which is nice because we get platform specific binaries, but this is out of sort of the normal NPM model, right? If I have an attestation, say, for my NPM package, that doesn't include these, right? What are they? Who knows? Are they guaranteed to continue to resolve to the same artifact? No, and they don't. And this is the snippet in installed JS in Phantom JS prebuilt that does the dirty work. So shifting gears to the sysgraph for reproducibility, there's an awful lot of tribal knowledge in debugging reproducibility issues, and detailed execution tracing found allows us to encode more of that knowledge than we could normally into something that maybe resembles a linter or a set of rules that might be able to guide you through debugging an issue like this. This is generally easier than source code auditing because the problematic cause, say, of a reproducibility issue, often far removed from its effect. So you may be configuring environment variables sort of centrally and exporting them through your call stack, maybe not obvious, sort of at the site, what's happening. Maybe to go through a couple of these, reading CPU info is not wrong, right? It's not bad, but it is often an indication that your build is doing dynamic things based off of the core count or, you know, scaling parallelism of the build in response to the machine it's running on. If you run it on a different machine, that's where you get into problems. So this is a frequent thing where you can often just set these parameters, and rarely builds will just try to do it themselves. And therapy dragons. We're going to this next one, locales.